Welcome back to Elevate. I am so excited to have Deacon Philip Finch with us today. He is going to be talking to us about his incredible career and all the things that he's been contributing right here in Metro Atlanta. He's also going to talk to us about his work in Ebenezer Baptist Church, and I'm really excited to have you. Thank you so much, Deacon, for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I'm going to read your bio, and then we're going to jump into some questions.
Okay.
All right, awesome. Mr. Finch is an Atlanta native who attended Atlanta Public Schools and graduated from Murphy High School in 1971 as class valedictorian. He is the vice president. He was, the vice president of the student body, co-captain of the varsity, football team. Wow. And a statistician for the varsity basketball teams, as well as a catcher on the varsity baseball team. So apparently just completely gifted in sports. In 1975, Mr. Finch received the BS degree in computer science and engineering from the University of Pennsylvania. And in 1976, his master's degree in information and computer science from the Georgia Institute of Technology. Mr. Finch worked with Unisys Corporation for 19 years, beginning as a software developer and ending as a program manager, providing software products to the banking industry. In 1995, Mr. Finch joined JDA Software Group as a program manager, delivering revenue management software solutions to the travel and hospitality industry. Mr. Finch remained at JDA for 17 years. Talk about faithfulness. One place 19, next place 17. Yes, very loyal. In 2014, Mr. Finch worked with WebOps LLC, which is a medical device logistics company, as senior program manager, and retired in 2019. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Right before the pandemic. You retired at a good time. And Mr. Finch attends Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, where he has been an active member throughout the years and currently serves as a deacon, member of the Sunday School, men's ministry, men's chorus, Marie Hunter Usher Board, and the technology team. And since 2018, Mr. Finch has been a member of the 100 Black Men a DCAB Incorporated. He served within board of directors in 2021 and 2022, and currently serves on the Education Committee, Scholars Board, and Technology Committee, and leads sessions in the Leadership Academy. Wow, I just feel like you need to write a book.
Maybe you're right. Maybe after this I will.
Right, with all that you've done, this is decades of experience and of contributions to the community. I think one of the things I want to ask, starting off throughout your career, that's obviously remarkable and impressive and unmatched, you faced challenges specific to being a Black man in business or just a Black man in that space, the technology space. Can you share an experience of overcoming these obstacles and the lessons you learned from it?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Well, first again, thanks again for having me and for opening up this forum to allow us to communicate in this way.
Absolutely.
And hopefully what we do will be an inspiration and help others who are coming along the way. So thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
I think in terms of challenges, I didn't really experience a lot of professional challenges. Mm-hmm. Most of the challenges that I experienced, and particularly in my early career, mm-hmm. were more social challenges than there were professional challenges. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate to have been well received mm-hmm. from a professional standpoint.
Sure.
Because the organizations that I came into, though some people may have been somewhat skeptical of what I brought to the table, mm-hmm. once we got a chance to engage with each other and work together, mm-hmm. They found me to be an excellent source of knowledge and understanding.
Wow.
And even wisdom sometimes. Mm-hmm. Although, as a young man, I'm not sure how wise I was, but there was some wisdom there.
Sure.
But from a social standpoint, some of the things that may have happened were I was maybe separated mm-hmm. from the mainstream, so to speak. Because when I went to work, Right. I didn't really go so much to socialize. Mm-hmm. So outside of the work setting, my social time was spent with my family, yeah. with my church. Excuse me. I didn't spend that much time socially with people who I worked with at right. the time. So there may have been some things, because in social settings, even mm-hmm. though work gets done in social settings too.
That's very true. Sure. That, right? That's right.
So there were some times that I may have been separated from that.
Wow.
And I think I overcame that over time by the associations that I developed inside of the corporation. Mm-hmm. And I worked in corporate settings most of the time. I was never sure. an entrepreneur, so I didn't have right. my own business.
Right.
I worked in corporate settings mm-hmm. where there was an organizational structure.
Right.
And I never can say that I was prevented from doing anything from an organizational standpoint.
Right.
There may have been some opportunities mm-hmm. that I was not aware of, mm-hmm. you know, that did right. not come my way.
Sure.
And even those I can't say for sure that it was because I'm a black man.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, looking back at it, it's important to engage in those social settings as well, even in a professional environment. So that we can
Absolutely.
Make sure those doors remain open.
Yeah.
And you don't yourself appear to be, you know, separated or recluse.
Mm.
You know, so take advantage of the opportunities that are there that are afforded.
Yeah.
So over time, I think I began to do more of that. I was never one that would say my friends are only the people that I work with, mm. because most of my friends are people that I either grew up with
yeah.
or people that I experience church with.
Wow.
You know, because those are the people that I can kind of engage with on a very deep and intricate level,
yeah.
where we can share, you know, what's really going on in our lives with mm-hmm. each other. There's a certain comfort that you have in being able to do that with people that you are familiar with.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's very important.
That's incredible. Right? You're talking about the power of community and not being isolated. What really stands out to me is I know so many younger black men that deal with a lot of isolation mm. and tend to pull themselves away from social settings for many reasons. But you're talking about the power of community.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if you can speak more to why community is important.
Sure, yeah. I think, you know, community is extremely important because we're stronger when we're together
right.
than we are when we're apart.
That's right.
You know, when we bring our knowledge together, mm-hmm. when we bring our wisdom together, mm-hmm. when we bring our resources together, mm-hmm. we can be much more effective than we can be when we are separated from one another, when mm-hmm. we live in isolation. I think, you know, the COVID time really taught us a lot about that too.
Yeah.
That was some forced isolation
Absolutely.
That we had at that time, which led to, you know, a lot of mental health issues in the community.
Yeah.
I thank God all the time that I thank God, period, for my church family and mm-hmm. my regular family as well. But particularly during a time like COVID, you mm-hmm. know, when you couldn't get out,
Mm-mm.
you know, you were forced to stay in.
Yeah.
That, and I'll think about my church, we found out ways to make it possible for us to engage with one another,
yeah.
even though we weren't physically present with one another.
Yeah.
So, I mean, thank God for Zoom, right?
Yeah, helping
for all the technologies
yeah.
like that, you know, that really made it possible for us to interact with one another, mm-hmm. even though we weren't in presence with one another.
Yeah.
And those technologies have even continued today mm-hmm. because many of our, you know, meetings that we have are hybrid meetings where people come and they sit together in a room, and those who can't come are at home mm-hmm. on their computer.
Mm-hmm.
And that just makes it possible for everybody to be included.
Right.
Right. So that's very important. But aside from that, in our group settings, it's important for others to be able to see us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it benefits us as individuals, mm-hmm. I'm benefited by being a part of the group,
mm-hmm.
but there are other people that are benefited because of me being there.
That's right.
And that's not said in any kind of, you know, mm-hmm. You know, trying to, you know, celebrate myself in any kind of way, but it's important for others to see me
that's
as
right.
well as it's important for me to see them.
That's right.
So being in group really affords that. We feel comfortable in sharing our situations with one another.
Yeah.
You know, one of the first things that you say to somebody when you say, well, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you really mean that? Do you really mean the question?
Right.
You know, so in a group setting where you're with familiar folks, when you say how you doing, we don't feel bad about really telling you
how we really doing, right? You know? Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Because I know you care. Mm-hmm. And if I say something that you can help me with, that you're going to be willing to do that, you know? So being in community facilitates that kind of relationship with one another. And I think it's very important for us to cultivate community in that way.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I'm thinking about your, you grew up in Atlanta, and you were, 1975 is when you graduated high school?
No, 71.
71.
Right.
So you were you, I just really want to know, I know this is not a part of the script,
that's
I just
okay.
got to hear, were you a part of any of the movement, civil rights movement, growing up as a kid? Did you participate? Did you march? Were you a part of any of
so
that?
So the closest I got to a march was to march in the funeral procession of Martin Luther King Jr.
Wow.
That's something that I did do. I was 15 years old when he was killed.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have the opportunity in terms of, while he was living, to be a part of any marches.
Mm-hmm.
And Atlanta itself was kind of a, it's not benign, that's not really the right word, but Atlanta itself wasn't the hotbed, so to speak, of even though we were the home of civil rights movement, most of it, in terms of what we saw, you know, television reports, news reports, and so forth, took place outside of Atlanta.
Right.
So I did not engage in most of that.
Right.
But of course, Atlanta had its own issues to deal with.
Sure.
And you know, we gave ourselves this label of the city too busy to hate.
Wow.
You know, where Atlanta really worked through some of its issues to try to be more of a loving community. And it's still working at it, you know.
That's incredible.
But yeah, so the only thing I did marching wise was to march in the funeral procession.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. Yeah. And I'm wondering if you can speak to how community has changed in the Atlanta area over time. From the time that you graduated, I know you went off to Pennsylvania to study, but what have you noticed? How have you seen community change or shift over time?
Yeah, I think there was a lot more cohesiveness back at that time.
Wow.
And in a way, and I'm not saying anything that's unique here. I think I think many who are my age can attest to this.
Yeah.
That what happened in the school system was consistent with what happened in church and was consistent with what happened at home.
Right.
So there was a kind of collaboration, if you will. And I think it was really even unspoken, but it was expected that what you were taught from a moral and ethical standpoint at home was consistent with what was taught in the church and what was taught at school.
Right.
You know, we prayed at school with no problem.
Wow.
You know, when it was Christmas time, we sang Christmas carols at school.
Oh, it's not so different
that
now.
That kind of is a lot different now, right?
Absolutely.
But beyond that, in terms of the behaviors that were expected of us as young people growing up at that time, our teachers expected the same things from us as our Sunday school teachers did, as our parents did. So, and again, I don't think what I'm saying is unique.
Yeah,
I think many of my generation will have the same assessment of that.
Mm-hmm.
But today we've gotten, you know, far away from that.
Yeah.
You know, I have as many friends today who will play tennis on Sunday morning and play golf on Sunday morning as who would be at church on Sunday morning.
Oh, wow.
Really. I mean, there was a time when it really wasn't like that, you know, at all. But I have friends who are like, and I legitimately friends, you know, who I consider to be friends, and they consider me to be a friend, who will, they would spend as much time with a recreational activity now as they do with church.
With church.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's different because, you know, you can't legislate what goes on in somebody's house.
Sure.
But the home is really the place where a lot of correction needs to happen.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
You know, we rely on the school system to do so much.
That's right.
Teachers have such a full plate in terms of what they're expected to do. I mean, they're expected to educate our children, but they're expected to
undo everything that's been done at home.
Yeah.
And unrealistic.
They have to teach the ethics. They have to teach the morality. Mm-hmm. They have to discipline.
That's right.
You know, and everybody's expecting the teacher to do everything.
And it's impossible.
It's impossible.
And and that's why we see there is actually a national teacher shortage right now. Because since COVID, there were so many teachers that were burnt out.
Yeah.
They're expected to meet these academic benchmarks with very little support. The world wasn't ready to go completely remote. As you can imagine, it was a pandemic. So we've lost a lot of teachers. And teachers now, as you said, they're burnt out.
Yeah.
Because they are expected to do so much. And as you mentioned, discipline starts in the home.
That's right.
We don't see that.
Yeah.
A lot. It's lacking a lot.
We have schools that, if you look at the PTA, there might even be a school where PTA doesn't even exist.
Oh, wow.
You know, and that's a sad commentary.
Absolutely.
You know, where parents will only come to a school if there's a problem.
That's right. That's a problem, too.
That's a problem. Exactly. That's a problem. You know? So I think, and that's one thing that I'm so proud about, the way that the 100 Black Men in the Cab does its work.
Yes.
We work with our Leadership Academy, which has over 100 kids in it.
Wow.
Middle age through high school. And we meet with them every other Saturday. And we teach leadership skills, life skills, and other leadership qualities that will help them to progress and help them to be leaders. This year, we've done a segment where we've been focused on peace education.
Wow.
And we want our young people to be ambassadors of peace.
Yes.
We want them to be leaders of peace.
Yeah.
So we don't want them to be the ones that are participating in a fight at the school.
Absolutely.
We don't want them to even be the ones that are pulling out the phone to try to record the fight.
That's right.
But we want them to be the ones who will diffuse things before a fight even occurs.
That's right.
That's what our objective is, to teach them the skills that they would need so that they can help their friends and classmates and so forth diffuse these situations that are occurring at school.
Yeah.
So that kids won't even be in a position to fight, because they've resolved whatever the problem is before it gets to that level.
That's right.
So that's kind of the thing that we're trying to teach them.
That's so good. Yeah. And it sounds like you're, as 100 Black Men, you're also like that discipline to the kids that they are lacking. So you're filling in a gap in areas where kids are not necessarily receiving or where they may be not meeting the mark quite yet. I think conflict resolutions, which is what you were talking about, is one of the most powerful things we can teach young people. Because if we can teach them how to identify their emotions, create a response that's going to be healthy, and manage their emotions, we can actually mitigate a lot of the violence that we see in our communities.
Yes.
But sometimes kids don't know what to do, how to respond. So they're reacting based off anger and based off emotions, and they've not been taught what is coping mechanisms.
Exactly.
What they are, what's healthy.
And when the games they play, you know, games like, you know, where it's fighting in the game and when you're ripping somebody's heart out and that kind of stuff, you know, you kind of you're conditioned to be like that.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's important to have them have healthy and wholesome environments and to think about the conflict resolution, use the term as you've used. The good thing also that we're doing is that while we're meeting, you know, like from 9 to 1 with these young people, there's a segment of that time when a number of their parents are also at the facility.
Oh, wow.
So a group of our men could be meeting with the parents that are talking with them about, you know, what's going on with your child at school and, you know, what is it that we need to be reinforcing or, you know, what we want you to reinforce when you go home.
That's
after
so good.
So
that's
we're
good.
Collaborating with the parents as well to try to help them, you know, once they get the child out of our environment, that they can do some things that are going to, you know, continue the things that we've been teaching.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. You're getting the parents and the kids at the same time.
Yes.
Can you tell us one success story from the Leadership Academy that you are proud of?
Well, the most recent thing that I'm very proud mm-hmm. of is that we've established this Scholars Board.
Wow.
And the purpose of this Scholars Board is to try to identify scholarship opportunities for young people, many of which may go unused. Mm. Because we hear all the time that there are a lot of scholarships out there that are not used from year to year because people haven't claimed them, haven't applied for them, and so forth. So we're trying to find more opportunities like that. We also established some internal scholarships for our kids. Mm. So the most recent thing we did was we had a essay contest inside of the 100s Leadership Academy. Where kids were able to write an essay about youth violence. Mm-hmm. That was what the topic of the essay was about. And so we had a number of young people to submit essays. We had the Scholars Board to read every essay, evaluate it using a standard rubric with each other. And then we selected three young people for third place, second place, and first place.
Nice.
And we were able to award those scholarships. Now, those scholarships will go toward their college activity.
Yes,
so, and these young people were juniors and seniors.
Wow. Okay.
So some of them will not see it until they, you know, well, none of them will see it until they graduate.
Right, okay? Right.
But they've, you know, submitted and then they've won. And That's we went incredible. To... the high school mm-hmm. of the winning or the first place essay writer.
Right.
And we presented it
in front
of his class.
Wow, that's incredible.
It was a moving experience for me because I didn't expect it to happen this way. But we went to the school, mm-hmm. we met with a counselor. The counselor was just so excited for us to be there.
Yeah.
Took us to the classroom of the young man.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And you know, we talked
beautiful.
About all the students were informed about the work that we do and
wow.
so forth. And the cream on the cake was the young man came up in front mm-hmm. and he read his essay
in front of the class.
And you could not believe how riveted Mm-mm. those young people were. They were paying such close attention to every word. They were hanging on every word.
That's right.
Yes. It was just a great, great experience.
And you don't know who that young person is going to be.
You're
literally investing in our next leaders.
That's right.
That is so powerful.
It is.
And I was picturing you going into the school and finding the young person in this class and just the scene. I can't imagine how transcending that was for him.
Yes.
The impact it left on him.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're coming to a close, but how can you tell us really quickly about the work of DCAB, 100 Men of DCAB?
Yeah.
What is your primary goal and how do young people and other people get connected, whether it's volunteer or whether it's become a part of the academy?
Right. So the 100 Black Men of DCAB is one chapter of 100 Black Men of America.
Yes.
And we've got chapters all over the country, and mm-hmm. it's actually international now because we have a chapter in London mm-hmm. and a chapter in the Bahamas.
Wow.
So we've got chapters all over the place now.
Wow.
And even in Atlanta, in the metro Atlanta area, there are five chapters of 100
Black Men.
Five chapters. Mm-hmm. So we've got a huge presence in the Atlanta area in terms of our work. Our intent is one of the mantras that we express is that what they see is what they'll be.
Mm.
So our expectation for ourselves is to be present mm. so that young people can see us, can see successful Black men.
Yes.
Men who are doing good things in the community.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strong statement.
That you know, is so
just
strong.
Just the presence itself is
Absolutely.
A strong statement, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So being present is one thing.
Yeah.
But the chapter and other chapters also are very much engaged in community service
mm-hmm.
During COVID in particular.
Yeah.
We participated in I don't know how many food distribution
wow.
activities. Not necessarily the ones that we sponsored ourselves, but mm-hmm. also ones that were sponsored by others, like other churches around the around the area. We participated in that. We assisted with COVID testing.
Wow.
You know, so when they had, you know, people were driving mm-hmm. through getting COVID tests, uh-huh. we were at the end of the line giving out water, giving wow. out brochures and information and so forth. Mm-hmm. So we were doing that. We run the Leadership Academy, mm-hmm. you know, which meets twice a month with our young people. Right. We support other youth activities in the community. Mm-hmm. Commissioners within DeKalb County may have, and the police system, because we supported the work of the Sheriff's Office, right. as well as a number of commissioners who have special programs that they run
yeah.
to improve the condition of our community, particularly with our young people.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kind of things that we do. You know,
wow.
we focus on financial literacy, mm-hmm. you know, health and wellness, leadership, you know, various pillars that hold up the organization. That's
wow.
what we're all about.
That's yeah. incredible. And I definitely want to get connected to Wonder Black Men really quickly. I'm a lifetime member of NCNW, a former vice president
oh,
in
wonderful.
New York City
yes.
before I moved down to Atlanta. And I know that whenever we were in our large annual conferences, 100 Black Men would always be present, and the presence alone
yes.
was the statement. And
yes.
I think it's something powerful about Black men just being there, being
yes.
present. When there's been such a pandemic of Black men's absence,
mm-hmm.
the presence alone can shift a lot.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
And if I was saying something that, you know, might help our young people,
yes,
too.
Yes, encourage the men out there.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, so, well, our brothers, stand up. Pull your pants up. You know, wear a good belt on the pants. Put forth the right kind of image to our young men so that they can aspire to be great. Have them shoot for the stars.
Yeah.
Don't settle for anything less, because we have within us that God has inspired and placed within us all of the tools that we need to be successful. We just need to encourage one another and strengthen one another so that we can do everything that God has called upon us to do. Be the example, be that person in front of each young person so that they want to aspire to do great things. Not just on the athletic field, but including the athletic field, and not just only in entertainment, but including entertainment, but also in a normal everyday life,
mm-hmm.
in the business community,
yeah.
And other areas that we see ourselves. Let's strive to be the best that we can possibly be.
That is so incredible.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Deacon Finch. That was really empowering, just thinking about all of our Black men that need to see Black men like you that have done it, that's doing it,
yeah.
that's making the impact and a difference. If we can get more Black men connected, present in our communities, I think we can see a lot of young people get into the place that they need to be in. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, too.
This
thank
has been incredible. I would love to partner with you. So once we finish this segment, I will tell you what that will look like.
Sure.
And then your contact information if people want to reach you or 100 Black Men.
Go to our website, 100bmod.org. That's 100, B as in boy, M as in Mary, O as in Oscar, D as in David.org. Go to that website and you'll see everything that we're engaged in. If you have a young person that would want to be a part of our Leadership Academy, there is an application on the website. We're not open for the rest of this school year yet, but we'll be opening up again in the next school year. And when that happens, we'll look forward to supporting you there. And not only does our chapter do that, but every chapter in the metro area has a similar program that they will execute. So even though you look at 100 of DeKalb, you live in Gwinnett, or you live in South Metro, or you live in Atlanta proper, each of those has a 100 Black Men chapter as well. So you're welcome to visit those sites as well.
Thank you so much, Deacon Finch. Please visit 100 Black Men wherever you are. You can, if you're in a metro area, find your local chapter, get plugged in, get connected. This is where your community is, and you definitely want to be connected to incredible men like Deacon Finch. Thank you again for your time. This has been incredible. We hope to have you back again.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes,
thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you for doing this, too, because this is so important to get this kind of a message out to our general community.
Yeah.
Is a really big, important thing.
Thank
You know, so many times we only see what's shown on the news or, God forbid, some posting of a social media thing that nobody's edited or whatever. But to have an opportunity like this to set the record straight, so
that's
to speak, you know, that's very, very important. So thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Deacon Finch. I appreciate it. And to set the record straight, y'all share this out. We share out bad news so much, but we don't share out good content and inspirational content that can actually encourage and inspire other people. So we want you to go ahead and share this out to other men and to people in your family and people in your circles. We appreciate you guys so much for watching. We know that you got something really great out of this, as I did. We will be back next week with another Black Men in Business in Metro Atlanta. Stay tuned. We'll be back soon.